Episode 132 of the Shock Shock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting Podcast Network. Sean St. Jacques back here with you, as always, for another week of Knicks and NBA talk. First show of 2022. Happy New Year, everybody. Hope everybody enjoyed the end of the holiday season. We are now getting towards the middle stages of the month of January. Plenty to talk about with the Knicks and the NBA this week. First and foremost, some housekeeping stuff. Just been the last couple weeks have been kind of crazy for me personally. Balancing work, balancing COVID, and just balancing, things in general. So I apologize if, I've been a little out of it the last couple of weeks. I do want to make this quite clear. I just got tested for COVID a couple of days ago. I tested negative, very excited about it, to be honest. So personally, myself, physically, I'm doing well. Just had a physical, just to make sure everything was okay. Everything's fine. The reason I bring it up just because, I listened back to the last couple episodes. I don't always sound like myself during it. It's just been a lot of things have been going on, in the background with things personally. And, I apologize. I try not to bring that to the podcast. But as a lot of you guys know, you can't always help that. So I apologize if you guys have picked up on that. If you haven't, might as well just clear things up regardless and just keep you guys in the loop. I feel like I've been doing this show long enough and have a good enough relationship with you guys that it's okay to talk about things like that, since we do it anyway. We do it anyway regardless. So just to clear things up, if I can talk, is a good thing. So let's dive into the Knicks. And I didn't give myself a lot of time on this Thursday, as always, to record, so I won't be able to touch on Knicks Celtics on TNT tonight. It's actually about to tip off in about an hour. I have other work to do at that time, sadly. So I'll have the game on in the background, but I won't be able to comment on it this week. We'll discuss it on next week's podcast. We'll run through the Knicks results from the past week. We're also going to talk about the Evan Fournier situation, some articles and people calling for him to be benched. I'll discuss my thoughts on that. And also, we will touch on the current situation that continues to develop with COVID in sports, and more specifically, the NBA. And I forgot about this. We'll talk about Kyrie Irving returning to Brooklyn. Can't play when the games are in Brooklyn, but returning to the Nets rotation as well. Okay. Last week, the week that was between podcasts, as always, for the Knicks, not the best week, I must say. The Knicks are still below 500. Watched a little bit of the game on New Year's Eve, missed the fourth quarter of the game, but pretty self-explanatory here. Very disappointing game. I thought the Knicks should have won this game. I know that, no Julius Randle doesn't help, but it's an OKC team that's below 500 at home. They're not good overall, and you got to win these games. Not only did the Knicks lose, they lost by 15 points, and I watched probably the best parts of this game where the Knicks were ahead, but the third quarter, they just threw it all away, basically. And then in the fourth, at one point in the fourth, the Knicks got back into it, made a couple of threes, but with maybe like seven minutes left in the fourth, OKC took complete control and the Knicks started taking bad shots, and lo and behold, they lost 95-80. Obviously not having Julius Randle hurts, but nobody really picked up the slack. RJ Barrett had 26 points, and he's had a good week. We'll get to more on that in a second, but quickly had 11, and nobody else was in double figures. This was a game where I thought Evan Fournier really needed to play well. We'll get to him in a little bit closer in a second. He only had 3 points and was 1 of 8 from the field, 1 of 5 from deep. So, 9 points, 12 rebounds from Mitchell Robinson. It was more than disappointing to end the year, and I thought this was a really good chance. If the Knicks had won, you get to 500 going into the new year. felt like a big swing game, potentially, and Knicks weren't able to get it. And I honestly didn't feel good about the Knicks going in to the next game either against Toronto. Again, they were without Julius Randle. They figured it out a little bit more offensively, but then defensively, they weren't able to figure it out. And they lose 120-105 to a Raptors team that is really, in my opinion, a below average team. They're not very good. And listen, some guys did step up. You know, Fournier recovered with 20 points. RJ Barrett had 19. Obi Toppin had a huge night. 19 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, a couple of blocks. I think he had a steal in there as well. One of his best games as a Knick, I thought. You know, that's kind of the player we're hoping Obi Toppin turns into, is a guy that can give you that or close to that every night. Fill up the stat sheet. Now, he played 45 minutes, but he was efficient, did his job defensively for the most part, and stuffed the stat sheet. Can't ask for much more than that. And the bench, I thought, was pretty solid. Again, Burks had 11, which is a little low for him, but Quentin Grimes had 13, Quickly had 9 points. Kevin Knox, coming out of the shadows, had 7 points. Bench did its job, frankly. Bench did its job. You get, if I'm doing the math right, what, 40 points from the bench? You got to win the game. You got to win the game. That is a really strong night from the bench, and you don't win. That's a game you've got to be very disappointed with. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a game where you're not going to get that very often. You're not going to get 40 points every night from your bench when only 4 guys are available on the bench. But they gave the Knicks a huge boost, and it wasn't enough. 3 guys had 19-plus points from the starters, and you had 40 points from the bench. You got to win the damn game. That's not good enough. Knicks scored 105 on the road. You got to win the game. But you give up 120 to the Raptors, and really, it started in the second quarter. Knicks were just not doing well defensively, and it trickled in to the third quarter. Knicks were outscored by 11 in the third quarter. Just not good enough defensively. 40 points in one quarter for Toronto. And listen, you know, I get it. Fred VanVleet went off. He had a huge night. I think he had 35 points. And, must be said, Raptors had a large bench. They played almost everybody they had available to them. Almost everybody. Anybody that could have played, basically, played. So that doesn't help. Knicks got maybe worn down a little bit midway through the game. But the Knicks finished the game strong. Which just makes me think, you know, what happened in the third quarter? Wasn't good enough. Siakam had a big night. Was 3 assists shy of a triple-double. And 4 of the 5 starters were in double figures for the Raptors. The bench, again, a lot of people play, but you know, bench wasn't set on fire. The Knicks bench held their own against Toronto's bench. It really came down to stopping the Raptors starters. And with all due respect, Fred VanVleet's a great player. You can't let him get 7-13 from 3. It's not good enough. Knicks just were not able to hang with Toronto. Again, it's a road game. It's a divisional game on the road, but that's another disappointing loss. And I thought it was going to trickle in to the Pacers game. I really did. I was really worried going into the game on the 4th. It was actually my birthday. Watching the game on my birthday, concerned. You know, I was flipping back and forth between my Seton Hall Pirates and the Knicks. I'm thinking, man, I don't know if the Knicks are going to do it. They've struggled with Indiana when they've been good this season. When the Knicks have been at their best, they've struggled with the Pacers. Now you're expecting them to win after they dropped 2 really bad games on the road to teams that are not very good. But Julius Randle being back totally changed everything for the Knicks in this game. Bottom line. You know what I mean? That was the difference against Indiana on, I guess it was Tuesday. Really big win. The Knicks needed to bounce back. Indiana, by the way, is in a bad, bad way at the moment. Pacers have lost 6 games in a row. They lost to Brooklyn at home after they lost to the Knicks at the Garden. They've lost 6 in a row, and I didn't even realize this until I started preparing for the podcast today. Pacers on the road this season. Now, again, they're 10 games under 500. They're not, or 11 games under 500. They're not playing well. But they're god-awful on the road. They're 3-15 on the road this season. Really, really bad on the road. One of the worst road records in the league. The only places they've won: at Sacramento back in November, at Utah back in November. Other than that, those both of those games came in the month of November. The only other road win they have, actually, it might have been before, was it before that? Let me see. They had those two in November, Sacramento and Utah, in a 4-day stretch. They won both of those games on the road. The only other road win they've got actually was at Chicago, same month. So November has been the only month the Pacers have won on the road. Three times in 18 games, beating Chicago, Utah, and Sacramento. Three decent road wins, two pretty good ones in there. And other than that, since November 22nd, the Pacers have lost every road game they've played. And they've lost six in a row regardless. So you know, again, looking at it from that perspective, Knicks had to win this game. They really did. Pacers have played them tough, though, this season. And luckily, the Knicks were able to kind of put Indiana away pretty early, I thought. I mean, the Pacers had a little bit of a run at it in the second quarter. Third and the fourth quarter, Knicks were able to kind of put them away. Pacers, again, I will say this, Pacers at one point in the second quarter looked dead and buried, and they were able to come back and make it a game at the half. Third quarter, Knicks kind of put their foot back on the throat and closed the game out. 104-94 was the final. And listen, I will say this, two big keys to this game. Number one, Pacers missed 11 free throws in this game, and Domantas Sabonis missed 7 of those. That's a big deal, I must say. That's a huge difference in the game, potentially. Pacers missed 11 free throws, and their star missed 7 of those. So that's number one right there. But number two, Julius Randle and RJ Barrett getting back to where we expect them to be. Having Julius Randle back from COVID was enormous. 30 points, 16 rebounds, beast, all-star, phenomenal. RJ Barrett, best game of the season, potentially. 32 points, 8 rebounds in 42 minutes, and he shot 12 of 20 from the field. For some reason, I don't have anything to back this up. It seems like anytime RJ Barrett makes 8 or 9 shots in a game, he has a phenomenal game. If he gets to that number or higher, it almost doesn't matter how many times it takes him to get there, he's going to have a big night. But if he makes less than 7 shots, nothing goes for him. Efficiency sometimes almost doesn't matter with RJ. He just has to make a certain amount of shots. And all of a sudden, you know, and again, he could get 25 looks, but if he makes 8 of them, he has a huge night because he's getting to the free throw line, he's doing other things, and he'll have 25 points. But if he makes like 4 or 5 shots, he does nothing else. You know, you start to see those 7-point outputs, those 9-point outputs, and then nothing else. It seems like when RJ Barrett is scoring the ball, making shots, everything else falls into place. Everything else. Rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, defense, no turnovers. When he's making shots or when he's getting to the bucket and getting to the free throw, he's 6 of 8 from the free throw line. He has big nights. He does. It just comes down to his confidence early if he makes a couple of shots. Because if he doesn't, he tends to kind of, you know, wane away in games. Doesn't really get anything going on any part of the floor. So this is a big night for him, big night for Julius Randle. And I was happy to see Alec Burks still getting a double figures despite really struggling from three-point line. And frankly, the Knicks struggled from three as a team in this game. Knicks shot just 21% from three, but they shot 48% as a team, actually almost 49% from the field as a team. And that's really what made up the difference. That was the key. Knicks were not getting it going from three, but they were able to shoot it well as a team from the field. And that made up the poor shooting from downtown. Because Indiana, on the other side, you know, they really did not shoot the ball well either from three, 9 of 38. But their Achilles heel, they weren't terrible from the field, 42%, but they shot 65% from the free throw line. That's what did them in. That's something that they would look back on this game and think, man, we really shot ourselves in the foot. Now, to be fair, they were outmatched for most of the game. I thought first, third, and fourth quarter, they were outmatched. But they really could have stayed in this game if they made their free throws. So that's something else for the Knicks to consider as well. But just having Julius Randle back and being his normal Knicks self, RJ Barrett having one of his best games of the season, those two, Randle and Barrett, are huge for this team. And they're going to be key moving forward. Knicks are 18-20 at the time of recording. Hopefully, at the beginning of this home-and-home with Boston, Knicks can they can hopefully pass Boston, maybe get a two-game lead on them. Both teams are 18-20 going into tonight, so we'll see. But that was a huge win because the Knicks were really scuffling without Julius Randle in the lineup because he's your star right now. He's the star. So not having him really cost the Knicks at the end of 2021 and in the first game of 2022. But luckily, you know, he came back at a good time. Knicks needed that win very badly and were able to get it over an Indiana team that, you know, again, has played well against the Knicks, but overall this season is having a very poor and down year. Indiana, by the way, right now, very dangerous position for them because, you know, if the Knicks win tonight against the Celtics, and we'll talk about that game next week, the Knicks are back in the playoff spots. The Knicks are only, by the way, at the moment, Knicks are a game and a half back of seventh, currently occupied by the Toronto Raptors, and they're three games back of sixth. So, still a long way to go, but the Knicks have ground to make up, 100%. I don't think, you know, the Raptors are going to keep this up. We saw a stretch like this early in the season. I don't think it's going to happen. And the Wizards have kind of come back down to earth a little bit. They've kind of gone through a little bit of a rough patch, while the Knicks and other teams have done well. But the Pacers have really dropped off. At one point, the Pacers were, I think it, 14-15, something like that. They were right around 500, and since then they've been god-awful. They've lost 8 of their last 10 and 6 in a row. So that's what's going to happen. It's going to happen with teams like that that are struggling to get things going. But the biggest problem with Indiana, just to briefly finish off that point, they're good at home. They're 11-10. You know, that's not bad. That's playoff worthy. But they're 3-15, and that is the second worst road record in the entire Eastern Conference. So one of those weird, weird things. And you know, again, another thing too, you know, just looking at the Knicks situation, Knicks have lost a couple games to Orlando this year. Orlando is 7-32, and they've lost 7 in a row. So they got off to a hot start. Knicks got them when they were good. They've been god-awful ever since in their last place in the East, and they can't win a home game. Orlando's 2-14 on their home floor this season. But the hottest team in the East is Chicago. Chicago's won 8 in a row. They're now in first place in the East. They've passed everybody up. Brooklyn's in second. Milwaukee's figured it out. They're in third. Miami's in fourth. Philly is won 5 in a row. They're in fifth. And so far, Cleveland is hanging tough. They're in sixth at the moment. I don't know if they're going to keep that up, to be honest with you. But they haven't had too many problems so far this season. They're just kind of playing their game, and we'll see how long they can keep that going because they're four games above 500. But we'll see. You know, they've done well on the road. That's been the difference so far. They're 10-8 at home, and they're above 500. I should say they're above 500 away from home, 10-8, and they're above 500 at home, 11-9. That's what's kind of keeping them in the mix. They're doing rather well so far, but. And I think they actually have the best point differential in the East so far. I think they're like a plus five in points per game and opponent's points per game point differential. So that's what's keeping them ahead of the team of the likes of the Knicks, Boston, Washington, Charlotte, and Toronto right now. But we'll see. I don't know if Cleveland can keep it up. I don't know if Toronto is going to figure it out and continue to keep this up. You know, Charlotte is a team I expect to be there, but then you look at Washington, we'll see. You know, I expect the Knicks to be ahead of those three teams when it's all said and done. I think the Knicks will be looking at maybe a fifth, sixth. That's the hope, but we'll have to see what happens. Hopefully that Pacer win is a sign of things to come, and we'll see how the Knicks do against Boston in this home and home. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll look over the Knicks' potential trade options with a month left before the trade deadline. Knicks didn't make a big move at the deadline last year. We'll see if they do that this year. Knicks made another move. We'll briefly talk about that. And we'll talk about COVID and its continuing impact on the NBA. All that's coming up next on the Shock Jock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting Podcast Network. Second half of the show, let's jump right back into things here on the podcast. Let's start with the Knicks move that they made a couple of days ago on Monday. Not really a move of note, but anytime the Knicks make a move, we do like to at least mention it on the podcast. The Knicks acquired Denzel Valentine, a former Michigan State star, actually used to be with the Bulls as well, from Cleveland in a three-team trade. The Knicks also got the draft rights to Wang Zhelin. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that. And Brad Newley as well, a center and a guard forward respectively. They also got cash considerations from the Lakers as part of a three-team trade. So Cleveland and LA are involved with the Knicks here. The big move in the trade is that Cleveland got Rajon Rondo from the Lakers, and LA received Louis Labeyri from the Knicks. Again, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that. The Knicks waived Wayne Selden as part of the move, and the Knicks PR Twitter account announced later that same day on Monday that the Knicks also waived Denzel Valentine. So we'll see. I don't know. Maybe that is a move where the Knicks have... have said we got to clear a little bit of space. I'm not sure. We'll have to see. We'll have to see what ends up happening here. But clearly the Knicks felt they needed to make a little bit of a move. We'll see what that leads to. Make of that what you will. Before we touch on the trade deadline and potential moves and names that are kind of being thrown out there, I do want to mention the Evan Fournier talk. And, we've seen the New York Post now put out a story about this. And it's been, a bit of a talk similar to what it was when Kemba Walker ended up being benched as well. Basically, Tom Thibodeau was asked on Wednesday if he considered putting Fournier in the second unit instead of starting him, and Tom Thibodeau said, quote unquote, not really. I see what some people are looking at. Evan Fournier at the moment is shooting 5 percentage points lower from 3 than his career best, 41% last season. Maybe that's evening out, I'm not sure. You could argue with that number, according to the Post, is falling because he went over a two-game stretch where he missed his 7 straight threes, for example. But then he had a big game after that. I guess the argument goes, basically, is that Evan Fournier is not living up to his contract so far, and you can make that argument. And also, you could say that on top of that, that he's been inconsistent. That's kind of one of the things. The other part of this is that, Kemba Walker's missed 3 games after he aggravated an injury to his arthritic left knee. And he said, quote, Did a little, but not much in Wednesday's practice. That's Tibbs talking about Walker. And he's not sure if Kemba's going to play at the Garden against the Celtics tonight. Well, you guys will know, obviously, but we will have to see. And Nerlens Noel has missed 7 games after entering COVID-19 protocols. He's day-to-day at the moment. Noel, according to Tibbs, was cleared, and he did some work in practice on Wednesday. So they're trying to get him back into game shape because he hasn't played in almost 3 weeks. And Mitchell Robinson missed a game as well due to COVID protocols, but was able to come back in. So it's, you know, the Knicks are balancing a lot right now. I think that's part of the problem with the performance of the team. You know, Kemba Walker's trying to, you know, deal with his knee injury, and he needs to be playing. I think that's pretty clear at this point. The Knicks need his offense. Evan Fournier's been inconsistent, but the part of that is that guys are moving in and out of the lineup. There's been no continuity. You know, Julius Randle's a star. He's expected to play well no matter who's on the floor, but these other guys are role players on this team. You know, maybe with the exception of RJ Barrett when he's at up to snuff. But these are guys that are expected to, you know, come in and do their part, and they've been inconsistent, and the Knicks currently find themselves outside of the play-in because of that. My hope, and it's tough with COVID, we'll touch more on that in a second, but my hope is that the Knicks can find some continuity, because this is a team that should be in the top six of the East, no question in my mind about it. But the Knicks have been inconsistent after starting the season 5-1. They just have been. And COVID's played its part. You know, injuries to a certain extent have played their part. And Tibbs is managing it as best he can. The Knicks are very much still alive. You know, if they can take down Boston, and again, you'll know the results of that, but you'll get some momentum, get back to 500. You know, that's kind of my thing. If the Knicks can just get back to 500, I think we're looking at a very different season for this Knicks team. But in the end, the Knicks just have to get healthy as best they can. And I know COVID is just so difficult to deal with, but that's got to be the goal for this Knicks team, 100%. That's going to be the difference between the Knicks just getting into the playoffs and maybe going through the play-in and then losing in the first round, or maybe winning a round and then that's it, to maybe making a run at this thing, legitimately. So we will have to wait and see what happens. But for the time being, I don't think Evan Fournier on the bench is going to really help. First of all, I don't think the Knicks can do it right now. I don't think there's enough bodies to do it. But I also think that, you know, Evan Fournier at his best is what the Knicks need. So you need him to play and try to, you know, whether it's shoot himself out of it or, you know, go on a nice run as well, whatever it takes. You know, the Knicks need Evan Fournier to be what they brought in, because if they don't have him, or he's not at his best, there's nowhere you can really turn where you're gonna have a better option right now. So Evan Fournier has got to figure it out and get that consistency that the Knicks have brought him in for. But we'll see. You know, we'll have to see what happens. At the moment, you know, the Knicks obviously have a lot of problems, but so do a lot of teams. So do a lot of teams. But the Knicks are right there. They've kept themselves in it. And I think a win or two over Boston over these next couple of days would do a lot for the confidence of this team. That's for sure. But we'll wait and see what happens. As far as the trade deadline, it's a month away. Knicks obviously just made a move to clear a few spots on at least the two-way slash, you know, rosters in general. It felt like a minor move, but we'll see what ends up happening. Of course, Rajon Rondo going to Cleveland was the biggest part of that deal as the Lakers moved him on. But, you know, it got me thinking, and then I started looking up and seeing what other people were discussing about potential moves the Knicks could make at the trade deadline. And one, you know, I should say not just one of two of the moves could involve a team the Knicks just played in Indiana. You hear the rumblings of Caris LeVert and his name being thrown around, and he's a guy that can make shots for your team. You know, Knicks could use some scoring options that are consistent. And, you know, if you add him with Evan Fournier, you know, Kemba Walker who has been inconsistent, you know, at times, but has been dealing with injuries on top of that as well. Maybe that could be an option. Shams and Bob Kravitz of The Athletic are saying that the Indiana Pacers will listen to offers for the 27-year-old Caris LeVert. Now, the nice part about this is that you could get him for a bargain because he does have an injury history. So that is an option that the Knicks could do and save some money on, potentially. Miles Turner's name has been thrown out there a little bit. Also, apparently, the Knicks are keeping an eye on him. Peter Bott, of the New York Post, apologize if I mispronounced that, report that the team has expressed interest in Miles Turner. And, you know, one of the surprises to that, one of the things that maybe will raise an eyebrow, is obviously the Knicks have a ton of options with Robinson, Noel, Gibson, and Jericho Sims available. But the argument is that Miles Turner is an upgrade, you know, and is a really good defensive player for this Knicks team. Really could be a difference maker. I, by the way, agree with that. I think, with all due respect to Nerlens Noel, who's, you know, not been what we expected this year because of COVID and injuries, Mitchell Robinson and Miles Turner together or part of the same rotation is a lot more dangerous right now for this Knicks team. It's an upgrade, 100%. And the Pacers are kind of lying in the weeds between, you know, are we going to go for it here and try to save our season, or we're going to fire sale this thing and start from scratch? Because the Pacers are 11 games under 500, not looking too good right now. So that's a big old wait and see right there. But the Pacers will be a team to watch at the trade deadline. And the Knicks could be a team that goes after a few of their stars, potentially. We'll have to see. The other name that kind of piqued my interest from a Bleacher Report article and a few reports as well is that De'Aaron Fox from the Sacramento Kings could be an option as well. The Knicks need a point guard, and they still have never addressed that as well. The issue with De'Aaron Fox is that he's going to cost some money. He's 24 years old. He already has a max extension with the Kings that he signed back in November of 2020. And the good news is, you know, as far as trying to get him, is according to The Athletic's Sam Amick, the Kings have not made him or anyone else an off-the-table guy in terms of potential trade talks. Again, that's according to The Athletic. But it's not going to, you know, not going to be easy. It's going to cost a little bit of cash. But again, you look at what the Knicks have at the moment: a Kemba Walker who's dealing with an injury and can be good, but at times is inconsistent. He's getting up there, you know, no question about it. As much as I try to, you know, give you both sides of that, it's one of those things where De'Aaron Fox is 24. He's an upgrade. No question about it. So there's that. But then the other part of it is, you know, do the Knicks want to fork over the cash? Because listen, I'll say this right now. Adding two out of those three guys make the Knicks a potential contender to win the Eastern Conference. You add De'Aaron Fox and Caris LeVert, or De'Aaron Fox and Miles Turner, the trajectory of this Knicks team for this season, forget about, you know, we'll get, you know, of course, for seasons to come, because both of those guys are in their early to mid-20s. All three of the guys are, actually. But that makes the Knicks a Eastern Conference contender this season if they make a move. Now, I remember thinking last year at this time, the Knicks had got to make a move, you know? We weren't sure if the Knicks were going to be able to turn it on down the stretch. Now, they didn't make a move, and they did turn it on, but this is a team that clearly needs a little bit of a boost. They need some injection of help here. I think the Knicks should go after one or two of these deals. I really do. I really do. De'Aaron Fox, I think, is a tough one to ask, but if you can get him, the Knicks have got to seriously consider it. They need to upgrade at the point guard position. They just have to do it. And then you look at the other side, Miles Turner's an upgrade. He really is. On both ends of the floor, you could argue, for this Knicks team. And then, Caris LeVert. I know the Knicks have guys at his position, guys that do what he does. You know, RJ Barrett is there. Alec Burks is there. But Caris LeVert, or Evan Fournier is there. But Caris LeVert provides you with quite a bit, and he might not cost you much. And the Knicks need more offense consistently. That's the thing. What's nice about Miles Turner is he has the identity of Coach Thibodeau with him. He brings really good defensive energy and would potentially be a starter, by the way, on this team. He really would be, easily. You know, he's got the experience at 25 years old. He's played in playoff games. And if he's ready to go, he's going to hop into that starting lineup. And De'Aaron Fox, I think, would as well, because Kemba Walker's having trouble staying on the court right now. And Emmanuel Quickley, I think, is still probably a year or two away from challenging for that consistent starting point guard position. With all due respect, he's having a really good year and has been inconsistent at times, but is still, I think, going in the right direction. But I just look at a De'Aaron Fox, and I think, man, 24 years old, pull the trigger. Pull the trigger. He's lightning quick, really good scorer, and with a team that just needs an injection, and a guy that can run the offense, can score himself and get other guys involved, and just provide a spark. I mean, De'Aaron Fox is a bleeping roadrunner. He's going to provide you the spark. And then Miles Turner, I mean, you think about what Atlanta's got with Clint Capela. You think about what Boston has with their front court. You look at what Milwaukee. You know, Blake Griffin with the Nets. Joel Embiid with Philly. You know, just thinking of front court guys the Knicks would have to potentially deal with in a playoff series. Miles Turner is going to fight those guys to the death. He's going to give you everything you need down low defensively, and he can be a factor on the offensive end of the floor. And is a really smart player, really good basketball IQ. Really, really smart guy. I think he makes a lot of sense. I really do. Caris LeVert makes sense money-wise, and because he can provide you with some scoring. But De'Aaron Fox and Miles Turner are your, we're going for it, guys. We're going for it right now. And the Knicks, I've said this time and time again, big picture with the Knicks, they still have never addressed the point guard position fully since we've started this podcast. It was like July 1st, 2019, when we first did a podcast on postingandtoasting.com and wherever you get your podcasts. The Knicks have, since then till now, by the way, since then till now, the Knicks have gotten a heck of a lot better. Let's start there. Because the first show we did, the Knicks flopped on Kevin Durant and flopped on Kyrie Irving, and they just signed Julius Randle. We didn't know what was going to happen. You know? Since then, Fizdale's been axed, Tibbs has come in, it's totally changed, right? But the point guard position is still way too inconsistent. De'Aaron Fox changes that. And Miles Turner becomes a big upgrade at a spot where maybe you don't need him, but you need his experience, his energy, his poise, and his physicality. It changes the trajectory of the Knicks this season for the playoffs and for 4 years down the road. It really does. And then, if you want to talk attracting stars, you've got a team ready for a Damian Lillard or somebody else to come in and be like, hey, we're winning a championship with this group. This is a team that can win a title. Those are the steps I'm hoping the Knicks can take at the trade deadline to move closer to being in that position. That's the goal. But we'll see what happens. We'll have to wait and see. I'm curious what you guys think about it. Let me know in the comments. Let me know in the comments on postingandtoasting.com or on Twitter at SaintJ7, the latter of which is probably the best place to find me. Two more quick hits before we get out of here. I think I talked more about that than I expected to, so we're running a little low on time, but just the irony a little bit of this report that just came out literally an hour before I started recording, I believe. Utah Jazz center Rudy Gobert has tested positive for COVID for a second time and has entered the NBA health and safety protocols. Of course, the first time Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID, if I'm reading this right, was the day the NBA shut down in March of 2020 and when the world shut down in March of 2020. Rudy Gobert's positive test after that ridiculous putting the hands on everything crap that he was doing at the press conference before, the day before that occurred, sparked this whole thing, you know, really put everyone's mind on the issue. And it's just crazy that, you know, or I should say it's ironic and full circle in a way at the same time that he's now tested positive again. So again, with that being said, hope he's okay, hope he gets healthy. It's just, you know, with everything that's gone on, it's just a crazy piece of news that just puts everything back into perspective, that the man that, you know, whose positive test kind of alerted everybody, at least in America, to what was going on, he's now tested positive again almost 2 years later. That is why I brought it up. We're 2 months away from being 2 years in to the pandemic. Rudy Gobert's last positive test was at the beginning of it, and he's tested positive again, and we're still right in the middle of it because of Omicron and this new variant. So that's basically why I wanted to bring it up. And, you know, coupled with the fact that Kyrie Irving just returned finally to the Nets line, but again, he can't play in Brooklyn, I believe, but he had 22 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists in the game last night, in the 129-121 win on Wednesday, day before the recording of the podcast, against Indiana, which allowed Indiana to drop their 6th straight game, as we mentioned earlier. So the Nets are at full strength. They just can't play with Kyrie at home, and that is the next step. I mean, I said at the beginning of the year, I predicted the Nets to win the championship this season in my preseason picks. One of the reasons I did that was because I thought Kyrie Irving at some point would play this season. He is now back, just on the other side of 2022 beginning, and now it's really just gonna be a thing now with Kyrie when, you know, we get down to the nitty gritty of the playoffs. You know, I can't imagine the Nets are gonna feel great about Kyrie only playing in road playoff games. I mean, how does that make any sense? You know, if there's a game 7 on your home floor in a playoff series and Kyrie can't play because he's not vaccinated, are we going down that path? I mean, that's what's in front of the league right now. And listen, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't get as much feedback on the COVID stuff from last show as I expected, but everyone's talking about it again. I mean, it's slowly but surely built back up. It's why I was talking about it last week, and it's been everywhere. It's what everyone's talking about, and all of a sudden you're starting to hear the doubts on whether or not this is going to work. You know, can the NBA, can sports in general, college athletics, you know, European soccer, NHL, can this be sustained? You know, Major League Baseball's got plenty of notes to think about. They're in a lockout at the moment, but they've got plenty of notes to look at as to, oh boy, what are we going to do? You know, what's the minimum for us to allow a game to be played? Now, One thing that's a little easier with baseball is that there's these things called double headers. So, like, you know, again, you don't want, like, six double headers during a season, but baseball's got, you know, a little bit more schedule to work with here. They play for quite some time. So games can be rescheduled, but there's also, you know, then you could get to the point where, if we're talking about the same amount of games being postponed, where you're losing all your off days now. So I just trying to put as much of this in perspective as possible, but it's still on my mind how the NBA and college athletics and the rest of pro sports around the world is going to deal with this in the next, I don't know, 2 weeks, you know? Time is of the essence here. So we'll have to wait, as we always tend to do around here, to see what happens. But for now, we stay where we're at. And I don't like that, to be honest, but because I don't love the way that sports are doing it at the moment. It doesn't seem fair to me, but it's something that we'll have to wait and see what happens with. That's it. You know, that's what it comes down to at the moment. So we'll see how it develops. That's going to do it for this week's episode of the Shock Shock Knicks podcast. Thank you all, as always, for listening to the show. You all are the best. Have a great new year. I really hope 2022 for you guys is really, really successful, exciting, positive, healthy, most importantly. And I really appreciate you guys continuing to spend some time each week with me talking about sports, talking about life, and talking about the Knicks. Until then, have a great week, and I will see you guys next time on the Shock Shock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting Podcast Network.